Hey friends, this is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. Today we're going to keep going with this series on Islam and the Quran. And we're going to continue where we left off yesterday, where we were talking about witnessing to Muslims and various tips that may help us when we're trying to lead our Muslim friends or family or co-workers to Christ. And so with that, let's go ahead and jump right in. And so we want to talk to him about the fact that Jesus was a miracle worker. I mean, like, he rose people from the dead. He healed the blind. He made the deaf hear. He was able to cause the mute to speak. And yes, he rose people. He raised people from the dead. Muhammad never did that. We want to bring these Muslims to Jesus, the real Jesus. You know, another thing, Muhammad, according to the Quran, Muhammad had to ask or seek Allah's forgiveness. Jesus, he was sinless. He was completely sinless. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 and 15, it says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." And furthermore, Jesus, he came to solve the sin problem. He came to put an end to the effects of sin, of course, to those who believe. But again, we want to show this to our Muslim friends. Scriptures like 2 Corinthians 5, verses 19 to 21, it says, "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are the ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." That is so cool. So he, God, made Jesus sin for us, even though Jesus never sinned, that we might be made righteous before God. That's a paraphrase, obviously. And here's another one, Luke 19. Verses 9 through 10. "And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." So again, just showing your Muslim friend what Jesus actually came to do. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That was the Messiah's primary purpose. Another thing that you can talk to your Muslim friend about, they absolutely 100% deny that God had a son. In fact, on the Dome of the Rock, that big goldish copper-topped mosque on the Temple Mount, it actually has the words on there written around the Dome of the Rock that say something to the effect of, "God doesn't have a son, he does not beget." Now guys, from the New Testament, for example, John chapter 10, verse 36, Jesus said, "Say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest? Because I said, I am the Son of God." In other words, he's asking, "Why do you guys say, are you guys saying that I'm blaspheming because I claim to be the Son of God?" And so here's the thing. Jesus was being accused of blasphemy. By the way, guys, again, going back to that previous point, a Muslim is going to immediately jump on the offensive and say, that is corrupted. But again, this goes back before Muhammad. Long before Muhammad, we have early manuscripts of this. We have late manuscripts of this. We have church notes testifying of this exact scripture. We have translations of all kinds of different languages from around Israel during that time. Old translations from the 2nd, 3rd century that all say this. Guys, and so, yes, this is what the original Bible said. It was not corrupted. And so anyway, Jesus is asking, you know, basically, are you saying that I'm blaspheming because I say that I am the Son of God? Well, where did he say this? It goes back to John chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. And this is what it says. And it's talking really quick. It's talking about, Jesus just healed a blind man. And the Pharisees kicked the healed man out of the synagogue. And Jesus says, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. Okay, so right there, Jesus claims to be the Son of God and receives worship from this guy. All right, guys, the Old Testament's clear. The Father says that he alone is to be worshiped. He alone. God alone is to be worshiped. And here we see Jesus accepting worship. By the way, just as an aside note, Jesus does accept worship on multiple occasions. Another one that's kind of at the top of my mind here is when Thomas puts his fingers in Jesus' side and he says, My Lord and my God, and he worships him. And again, Jesus allows him to be called God, and he accepts the worship. The angels are said, I believe it's in the book of Hebrews, it says that he is worshiped by the angels. Again, he accepts it. And so that's either blasphemy, and in which case, Muhammad would be wrong for saying that he's a prophet, because no prophet is running around accepting worship, at least, a prophet as Muhammad would see a prophet, okay? So Muhammad's either wrong, or Jesus is God, and therefore Muhammad is wrong. Okay, so either way you look at it, Muhammad made a mistake here. Another thing you can do, and you want to be, first of all, a really good friend of your Muslim friend before you try this one, but you can take them to the errors and inconsistencies, the contradictions that are found in the Quran, the contradictions between the Quran and the Quran, the contradictions between the Quran and modern science, the contradictions between the Quran and the Bible. You've got crazy things like the Quran saying that, Muhammad saying that the Trinity is Mary, the Father, and the Son. Okay? That's what the Quran says we Christians believe. So either Allah doesn't have a clue, or Muhammad's just dead wrong. Because nobody in Christianity has ever taught that. Now, there might be a couple fringe Catholic priests out there that want to push for Mary being deified, but still she's not part of the Trinity, never has been. And by the way, I say fringe because those Catholic priests would be dead flat out wrong. Wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Mary was an amazing woman. She is not God, nor is she even to be worshipped, nor is she supposed to be hyper-venerated or even venerated. Okay? She's not to be prayed to. She's not to have her toe kissed. She's not to be bowed down to her statue. She's not to, we're not supposed to be saying the Hail Mary. None of that. Okay. You can, anyway, let's move on. You can take them to, the strange fact that Muhammad thought Mary was Moses' sister. You know, different weird stuff like that. There are whole websites devoted to the errors and contradictions and issues with the Quran. There, I don't think I mentioned this yet, the contradictions between the Quran and the Hadith. There's so many issues with the Quran. Again, I mentioned this earlier, don't go into this all tough guy, arrogant, chip on your shoulder. You better be humble. You better be loving. And you better be ready to back off if they're visibly really getting aggravated and angry about it, okay? You know, don't damage your friendship. Take it slow. Be loving. Be graceful. Be gentle. But don't be a pansy either, you know? Stand up for the truth. Another thing, you can take them to the Ten Commandments. They recognize the Ten Commandments. So ask them how well they've done. This kind of goes back to Ray Comfort's ministry and the concept of taking them through the Ten Commandments, asking them questions like, have you ever told a lie? What does that make you? It makes you a liar. Have you ever stolen something? What does that make you? A thief. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust? Jesus said, if you look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. You know, that kind of stuff. Take them through the Ten Commandments. Have you ever said or taken the Lord's name in vain? Perhaps they haven't done that. It's kind of hard to say. But anyway, have you ever coveted your neighbor's goods? Have you ever wished you had something that somebody else had? These different things that are in the Ten Commandments. And then ask them, if you were judged by the Ten Commandments, would you go to heaven or hell? Okay. Ask them in... And the point is you're trying to get them to a point where you can really give them the gospel and show them what the Bible says, what Jesus actually did on that cross 2,000 years ago for us, for anybody who wants to confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, that he died on a cross for them. You know, give them the gospel. Another tactic that some Christian apologists out there endorse is using storytelling. Apparently, an apologist, Dean Halverson, he says that Muslims are more influenced by stories and parables than they are by logical arguments. John Haynes says whole families have come to Christ in Muslim cultures through the use of the story method. So in other words, apparently, they're very moved by biblical stories. The culture itself is a culture that values storytelling and stories. So another tactic is to get them enthralled in biblical stories. Take them to, for example, the wedding feast. You can talk about the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son, Lazarus and the rich man. You can talk about the Pharisee and the tax collector, the unmerciful servant. You can talk about the two sons, the prodigal son story. You can talk about Jesus as the good shepherd, you know, the good Samaritan story, all these different stories that you can take them to, anything to try and get them to the gospel. And guys, that's pretty much it. We've made it to the end of this series. Again, yes, we've talked about some pretty hardcore stuff here. Islam is, yes, it is a faith that, according to the Quran, can get pretty violent. The Quran does endorse violence. At the same time, Jesus told us to go out into the world, make disciples. We're supposed to spread the gospel. We're supposed to walk a Christian walk. We're supposed to love people. Guys, let's go out there and let's fulfill the Great Commission, and let's try to reach these Muslim brothers and sisters, and I don't mean that in a Christian sense. Let's go out there and reach these people and try to change the world one person at a time, one soul at a time. Let's bless these people. And so with that, come out to the website, youthapologeticstraining.com. And there, guys, you can leave comments and questions. I do want to talk to you. If you have ever witnessed to a Muslim before and have been successful, I would love to hear your stories. Also, if you are a Muslim or an ex-Muslim that's come out of Islam and into salvation, into the loving arms of Christ, please contact me as well. I want to hear your story. Also, if you have witnessed to a Muslim and have utterly failed, not that I've ever done that, but anyway, if you have failed, let me know. I would like to hear about that too. A lot of times there is great lessons to be learned in failures. And so you guys can catch me on Google+, Facebook, and Twitter as well. And so with that, I love you guys. And I'll see you tomorrow.